God, we thank you for this day, and we just thank you so much for your love. And we thank you for the hope and the ability to be able to trust you and to know you. And God, I just, I pray that as we look at your word and we try to understand what it means to understand how good and beautiful you are, that you will open our hearts up to that, that you will help us to be faithful and obedient. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I feel like this thing's really short. Anyway. Well, we have been studying in this series called The Good and Beautiful God. And the hope of this is that, or really the tagline, if you will, that goes with the book is falling in love with the God that Jesus knows. And so a big portion of this series has been comparing and reading the narratives in the Gospels and comparing and reading how Jesus approaches different situations in life and what it means that we actually understand how we read Scripture and what some of these verses mean. The first week, just as a quick review, we talked about how the will of ourselves is not something that we can just demand at will. We can't just say, I'm going to lose 30 pounds or 20 kilos or whatever, and it happens. Like we can will, we can hope that that's going to happen all we want, but unless we actually understand what it takes for that to happen, it's not going to. And so we talked about this thing called the triangle of transformation. And the triangle of transformation involves our social environment, meaning if you're going to lose weight, that you need to be around people that are losing weight or that are active. You don't need to be around the all-you-can-eat buffet, you know, hoping that that's going to transform you. You can't will yourself, you know, away from that coconut cream pie. It's my favorite pie, just as an information. The other part was that we talked about soul training. These are techniques and different things that we do to help us in our spiritual life. And the first one that I gave you was to sleep. It was a pretty simple task, or would seem to be simple, which we find out is more difficult than we think sometimes. But that was the first part of the soul training. And so the soul training involves many different things, as we talked about last week. And as I mentioned, the narratives of Jesus was part of that triangle. And then on top of all those things, the Holy Spirit is to be involved in all aspects of that. And so as we are in our social setting, like our church, as we're trying to understand who the good and beautiful God is, it is in the Holy Spirit is with us as we're serving others. It's with us as we're eating. It's with us. The Holy Spirit is with us. And then last week, part of the soul training exercise or the theme was that God is a good God. And that is a hard thing to understand in the midst of tragedy, as we talked about how things can just be so messed up. We can be in one moment in just this, you know, utopia, if you will, with God. And we can feel God and we can understand God. And then the next second, something tragic can happen in our lives. And it seems God is so distant and almost not even there. And so the soul training exercise for this past week was that we find time in God's creation. That we go, we silence ourselves for 5 minutes a day with a hot cup of coffee or tea or whatever it is or something like that. But that the other portion was that we go out in God's creation. And I just want to ask, did any of you do that? You don't have to raise your hand if you didn't or did. But were there any experiences that you had of God's discovery or understanding that God was beautiful this past week? Good. You guys are good. Well, I must say that for me personally, I was able just to get out and be out in nature, and I didn't notice anything dramatic. But just to be out in the woods and breathe fresh air and not city air was just a nice and refreshing thing for myself. So if you weren't here last week and if you weren't able to do that, I would still encourage you again to go out in nature and find the details in God's beauty. Well, today this story is about trust. And I want to share a story with you about my tragedy of trying to bike race. I was in college at the time and was not in shape. This was several years after I stopped running competitively. And so I was like bigger and slower and wasn't in great shape. But nonetheless, a friend of mine had said, "John, let's go down to Florida." I lived in Tennessee at the time. And he said, "Let's go down to Florida. There's this Crete bike race," which means you go around for like 30 minutes at a time around this racetrack, right? So I thought, sure, why not? This sounds like fun. And we go and we start out, and this is the beginner phase, by the way. We're like in class Z, you know, we're not at all in the competitive, you know, phase of this. And so I was all excited and pumped, and we take off. And Abe and I are like in first place, you know, for the first lap. And we turn this corner, this hairpin corner, which means it's a curve that just does this and then comes straight back. And something happened magically in that moment. All of a sudden, people started flying by me on their bicycles. And I'm like pedaling as hard as I can, and I can't catch any of them. And the reason why I couldn't catch any of them was because they were all drafting off of each other. Do you know what I mean by drafting? Where you tuck in behind a bicycle and it like sucks you in. What had happened is that because we were in the front, and we really shouldn't have been in the front, we didn't have enough power that when they zoomed around us, we didn't shift at the right moment, and we failed. Well, we struggled embarrassingly, way behind, out of the pack, just he and I. It was a really windy day. But I tell that story because on the flip side, if you look at professional cyclists and the Tour de France, we all know the Tour de France, this big race, you know, that's in France. These teammates spend hours and hours and hours training together. And the purpose of their team is to get one guy in position to win the race. And so when they are drafting, like, I don't know if you guys have ever seen bicycle races, but when they're drafting, they're like this far from the back of the wheel. And so at any second, if somebody makes a wrong move, it's game over. You know, they break their collarbone or they do something terrible. But the reality is that if they don't do this, just like what happened to myself, is you get left behind. So there's this factor of trust involved in this specific sport that goes beyond most other sports, because a lot of sports like basketball or even football or whatever, I mean, there's some level of trust, but it's like you're not going, you know, 40 miles an hour to this far behind a wheel and all of a sudden, you know, you crash. It's a much bigger thing. And so today's story is this. I want to ask you about your own life and God. Do you trust God? And I'm going to get why that's important in a little bit, but do you trust God? Some of you might say, "Yeah, John, of course I trust God. I'm here, aren't I?" And that's good. But I want to ask this, is that do you trust him first with your heart, your mind, and your soul? We talked a little bit about that, about loving God with all your heart, mind, and soul a few weeks ago. And you might say, "Yes, John, I trust God with all my heart, my mind, and my soul." I'm like, okay, that's good. I apologize for this dialogue that I'm having between you and I right now. But those of you that have children, do you trust God with your children? Do you understand that God is taking care of your children, no matter how young or old they are? Do you trust God with your children when something bad happens to them? That God has a plan in that. Do you give God praise or joys for the blessings in your life? Do you trust God in your tragedies, like we talked about last week, when it's not easy to trust that maybe there even is a God? Do you trust God in your frustrations? Jesus trusted God. If you had put Mark 14:36 up there, it says this, "Abba, Father," he said, "everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but you will." And then Luke 22:44 says this, "And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground." In this scene, if you will, in the passion of Christ, Jesus was in such pain and anguish of what was going to happen that he was literally sweating blood. I don't know. I mean, have any of you ever sweated blood before? Like, I haven't. I don't even imagine what that would be like. But he was in such pain and such agony that he was just, he was going to take on the sin of the world. And we don't even know what that means. We can't even imagine the weight that was on his shoulders. But somehow, in Mark 14:36, he says this, "Not my will," "not my will, but your will." So the question is why did Jesus trust his Father so much? And I don't want to get into a theological debate in the Trinity, but why is it that Jesus was able to trust God so much? For one, he knew the Father. He had been with the Father for all of eternity. So he knew the character of who God was. I think if we look at his earthly ministry, God was present with him. I think about in the baptism of Jesus in 1 John, when John the Baptist baptized him and Jesus did these things and God said, you are good, and he was encouraging. You know, he was the perfect Father. And those of you that are parents know how difficult it is to parent and to keep that trust. I know my daughter doesn't always trust me. We tried to pull a tooth out, and Friday night was not a great night. And so finally the next day she was able to get it out. But there's a trust factor there because she remembers, you know, like the time before when I pulled it out that it was painful, right? But God isn't like that to Jesus. Somehow, their relationship is in sync so much that Jesus would say, okay, I'm sweating blood, you know, and obviously I'm downplaying this a little bit here, but it's like Jesus was sweating blood and in anguish and yet still was able to trust what was going to happen. And he knew what was going to happen to him. And so for this morning, as we look at trusting God, this is the challenging part. And so I need you to perk up a little bit. What is your cup? Do you understand what I mean by that? What is it that is a barrier between you and God? What is it that is preventing you from trusting God? Is it something that's pretty apparent? Is there some tragedy that has happened in your life? Is there something that you feel like God just took away from you that was so painful that you're unable to trust God? Some of you are sick. We may not even know that you're sick, but some of you are sick from an illness. How are you able to trust God in that illness when you're praying all the time for God to take that pain away? Or maybe some of you are in some situation that is really scary and is even dangerous. How are you able to say, not my will, but your will be done, God? Others of you just don't even see God. You don't even see God the Father. That's why we're doing part of this and trying to get you out in nature to understand that. But it's like, how do you even see God? So how do I trust in something that I don't see? That might be your barrier. I think that we're going to do a series on this some point because I think that this is an important thing. But for me, as I was wrestling with what is it that's my cup? See, I've been blessed. I've grown up in a good family. I've had tragedy, but it's not been like personal to me in a way that has prevented me in my relationship from God. But yet, for some reason, there's so many times when I am struggling to trust in God. And so I wrote down this week this sketch of things, and I'm not going to go into it, but here's what I came up with. Because of my failures and weakness, I've lost trust in God. It's interesting. Because of the things that, like, I've been fired in my life, or I've failed people, or people judge me, and I take offense to that, for some reason, I think that I have lost my own ability in what my experience is with God, if that makes sense. And that sometimes I go, well, because of a situation that happened to me, and because of my intellectual, you know, lacking of, or because of my inability to get a job done, when I experience God, somehow I have canceled that out as not being God because I don't trust God. I don't know why that is, but I think that that's what, for me, what was going on. And so for those of you that maybe don't understand that, it's very important that you understand what your cup is, because that is what's preventing you from trusting God. And if we can't trust God, then we're not able to be in the race, much like those cyclists. Because trust is so crucial to having a life of significance and a life of purpose. It's so significant. I want to show you something. I want to show you the back of this piece of paper. It's really cool. What do you see? This is a part where you actually get to participate. What do you see? A black dot. A paper. Good. A black dot. Paper. Well, most of us would say, I see a black dot. Dot. Yeah, dot. Like a period. Yeah. We see this, don't we? But somehow, we've missed this. All this white stuff here, which is the majority of what this paper is. It's exactly what God's grace is and love is in our lives. Somehow we concentrate on the black dot and we forget to acknowledge the grace and goodness of God in our lives. So that's exactly what I'm challenging us to do this week. Is I'm challenging us to see God's goodness in our lives. And that means literally writing down the things that maybe you just take for granted. Maybe it's a meal that is cooked for you or that's given to you, or maybe it's just air that you're breathing. Maybe it's a house that you're in. Maybe it's a worship place that you're in. I don't know. You have to figure that out. But the challenge is to seek the white in your life. To seek out God's goodness and not just concentrate on this one bad thing that has happened to you. Because I think that as we do that, just like Jesus was familiar with God the Father and his love and his goodness, I think just the same way we will then start to see that, because as we see those things, as we see the giver of those goodnesses, then we start to fall in love and trust that God. We're going to go into, have communion. This is Communion Sunday. And in this communion, just as information, we do what's called intinction. And you, it means you take the bread and you dip it into the cup. And so then, and that's pretty much it. But this is a time where those of you who are maybe not United Methodist, it's okay. We welcome all to the table. This is a sign of God's grace for you to receive God's grace. So there's no stipulations as to be a member or something of that sort. It's just to know that you're receiving God's grace, Jesus' grace in that. And so as we do this, we'll have some words up on the screen that you can follow. And I would encourage you just to use this time to be able to meditate and really just prepare your heart for this. And we'll see if this works.